Would you join with me as we read from Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter, beginning with verse 45. I'm going to pause for a moment. We've had technical issues with our PowerPoint presentation, so I'm going to give you just a moment to find that on your personal electronic devices or in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 45. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And let me repeat the text of this morning. My God, why have you forsaken me?" During these days, particularly Easter season, I'm enjoying the music of Christ, some of the wonderful new creations that are being broadcast by radio waves. But I'm enjoying some of the old hymns of the church as I meditate on them and let them speak a message to me. One of those we'll sing at the close of this sermon, but I'm thinking of just a phrase from an old hymn. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? We're focusing on a very poignant moment in the life and in the death of Jesus this morning. It follows on upon many disappointments. Jesus has been crucified. He hangs on an old rugged cross. He's been tortured in every way. But it seems to me that as the weight of the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future, is rolled into one heavy weight and placed upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ as he hangs on an old rugged cross, someone has said it was not necessarily the pain and the suffering of the wounds or the beatings. It was the weight of the burden of sin of the whole world laid upon his shoulders as he hung on an old rugged cross. I think probably some of the most painful experiences was that of those who surrounded him. Feel his abandonment as he suffers alone on Calvary, betrayed by his brother. Yes, Judas Iscariot proved to be a very unworthy and unfaithful brother, but he was a part of that band of brothers that we call disciples that traveled with Jesus, that were with him in every situation, that saw the miracles, shared the travel. And Judas was one of those until the very end, when his greed took control and he betrayed his very own brother. Think of him as he was condemned by his conspirators, both the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers, and Pilate himself, conspiring together to illegally execute him and release a common thief and repeat criminal. He was beaten and bloodied by his benefactors, those who he came to save. Think of Jesus prior to the cross, sitting upon the hillside, probably the Mount of Olives, looking across the Kidron Valley over into Jerusalem and crying out with broken heart, reminiscent of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he watched and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would have I gathered you under my wings as a hen doth gather her chicks, and you would not." Those that were his benefactors had beaten him and bloodied his back, caused him to carry the crossbeam of an old rugged cross along the Via Dolorosa and up the winding pathway up Calvary's mountain. Beaten and bloodied, tortured by his tormentors. the cat of the nine tails, the crown of thorns, all that they could do in every way to shame him and cause him the greatest amount of pain and suffering, but not allowing him to die. Think of him as he is crucified by his countrymen, laid down across that old rugged cross, and the nails driven through his hands and through his feet, raised unceremoniously up, and the upright of that cross dropped down into a hole in solid limestone. I have, with my own hand, I have felt of that carved out hole where they hung Jesus on an old rugged cross, dropped. You know, when we think about falling from a high place, whether a rooftop or some other high place, we jokingly say, it's not the fall, it's the sudden stop. And so I want you to think of that sudden stop as that old rugged cross bottoms out in that cradle, crucified by his countrymen, forsaken by his friends. Where were they? That band of brothers that I mentioned before. We criminalize Judas as we probably should. We put the blame of abandonment upon him, of betrayal. But where were the others? Where was Peter, Nathanael, and all of the other disciples abandoning him, forsaking him? We know that one that was named John, who wrote the fourth gospel, was there, but he was there incognito. Jesus must have been brokenhearted as he looked around and found so very few familiar faces, friendly faces, maybe only those of his mother and her female companions, completely forsaken. Someone has said when they came around after the crucifixion, before the day of the Passover, they came around and they thrust a spear into his side, and it came out blood and water. And someone has said, I don't know, I can't verify it, I can't deny it, but someone has said that showed that he didn't die from the wounds in his hands and his feet, but he died from a broken heart. And heart must have been broken as he was forsaken by his family and friends. His brothers and sisters are not even mentioned as his supporters during that time. Think of Jesus hanging on an old rugged cross, being cursed by his cohort. On each side of him was a common thief, a criminal. One mocked him and blasphemed him, and the other ultimately confessed him as who he was, the Christ, the Messiah, just adding to his abandonment and bewilderment and his heartbreak. See him hanging there on the cusp of Calvary, silhouetted against the sullen sky that had turned to darkness for a number of hours. See him there. See him beaten and bloodied, tortured and torn, berated and blasphemed. See him there, hanging on an old rugged cross, condemned and crucified, insulted and isolated. Our Savior, the blessed Son of God, the spotless Lamb of Calvary, pierced and persecuted, shamed and shorn as a sheep before her shears, stripped and striped, tried and transgressed, decimated and dehydrated, forsaken and forlorn. Try, close your eyes if you must. Close your eyes and just imagine how it must have felt. Imagine the times of crises in your life when you needed a friend, you needed a family member, husbands, wives. Remember those horrible experiences in your life when the only help that you had, the only comfort, was your beloved standing by your side. sometime with arms around each other, crying on each other's shoulders, but at least you had that one. But imagine Jesus hanging there. Imagine him again, betrayed by his brother, condemned by his conspirators, beaten and bloodied by his benefactors, tortured by his tormentors, crucified by his countrymen, forsaken by his friends, cursed by his cohorts. But oh, that must not have been what caused him the greatest pain of all. The nails, the thorns, the cat of nine tails, the insults, the wine vinegar, the gambling for his very garments, all that occurred must have been heartbreaking beyond description. But now in this final moment, my God, you might as well interpret that, my Father, why have you forsaken me? There have been various explanations. One explanation is that God himself had not indeed, that God was keenly aware and he was watching him and walking through the pain and agony himself. Others have said that perhaps God was so brokenhearted. You see, of all the anthropomorphisms that people have assigned to God, those human characteristics that we have projected upon God, the capacity to love is the greatest of all. God's number one attribute, all other attributes combined into one, is capsulized and summarized in that one statement: God is love. And perhaps in that moment, that love was so overwhelming and the pain so personal and the agony so deep that God could no longer look upon his son hanging on the cross, so he turned his head away. We don't know exactly why, the reason. But Jesus in that moment experienced total and absolute abandonment. Forsaken. It's just unfathomable the various ways that Jesus was tortured. Physically, emotionally, beyond human endurance. And it's my feeling that perhaps the emotional trauma was even more significant than the physical damage. Jesus hanging there for one reason, and one reason only. It was for every one of us that had been guilty of forsaking him, of rebelling against him. For you see, it wasn't the sin of Pilate. It wasn't the sin of a Roman centurion. It wasn't necessarily just the sin of a Jewish Sanhedrin. It wasn't just the sin of a high priest. It was our sin that hung him on an old rugged cross. And during this season of the year, I celebrate him as my Redeemer. Because as the old song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love lifted me. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but I stand fully aware that for the first 15 years of my life, in every way I possibly could, I forsook him. I abandoned him. I pushed him away. I ignored him. I sinned against him, and my sin put him there. So today, I want us to celebrate our Redeemer. If you're watching by Facebook Live or some other media, I want you today to consider that, yes, it was our sin, my sin, your sin, that nailed him to that old rugged cross. And if you have not yet accepted his salvation, recognized him and claimed him as your Redeemer and your Lord, I encourage you, wherever you are, in your home, in your automobile, in your office, wherever you are, to consider standing up for Jesus. Let's let him know today that he is not forsaken. He is not rejected. He is not abandoned. But we own him as Lord and Savior and blessed Redeemer of our lives. I'd like for you, if you will, we can't hear you. You can hear us. I hope we can't hear you. But as well as you know the words or can follow along, join us in singing that beautiful, beautiful song, Blessed Redeemer. For those in our audience, it's number 243 in your hymnal. Just sing along as we celebrate our blessed Redeemer.